Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints.
Right, good morning. Lovely to see you all. We're going to look at spiritual warfare, Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. And the points are, the headings, the two of them, spiritual warfare and spiritual armour. I'll give you an idea of, it says, Mark 3, 24-26, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So, unbelief and faith. But if they're divided between the two, they can't stand. So, let's be people who are full of faith, not full of unbelief. In the Victorian period, there was a general called Chelmsford, and he led an army of quite a few thousand men to fight the Zulus, what we were doing fighting the Zulus in the first place. But anyway, that's beside the point. And he divided his army, and at the Battle of Itsawana, the Zulus massacred something like 1,800 of our troops. He divided his army. Don't be divided in your heart and your mind or your spirit. Be single-minded. Otherwise, the enemy gets in. First of all, there are two different kinds of warfare. There is a worldly warfare and a spiritual warfare. Jesus said, do not be alarmed. There will always be rumors, wars and rumors of wars, Matthew 24 and 6. And that is the worldly kingdom. And the worldly kingdom, I have a book at home listing all the battles that have taken place since the earliest history. And there's probably been 3 weeks of peace in the world. Always wars going on somewhere. Spiritual warfare is a heavenly warfare. And John 18 and 36 says that it's spiritual heavenly warfare. My kingdom is not of this world. If it was of this world, my servants would fight. So Jesus was saying to Peter, don't take the sword and cut off the servant's ear. No, that's not the way I fight. My kingdom isn't of this world. So what is it then? Well, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world are divided. And when Christians try to put the principles of the kingdom of God and put it on the world, it won't work. Because the world doesn't belong to God. The world is belonging to Satan. He's the prince of the power of the air. So it's no good going and praying that, you know, the government will have righteous, God-like attitudes, because it won't. It's of the world. So what we've got to try and do is to see that there is going to be warfare in this world, and there is going to be warfare spiritually, but they are different. You want an example of Christ's kingdom on earth? It is as Christ redeems a person and transforms their hearts, they become part of the geographical spiritual kingdom on earth, which the world does not recognize. That's the kingdom of God. We're all born into the kingdom in this world, and once we were of its attitudes. So spiritual warfare. The prince of Persia opposed Daniel's prayer for 21 days. Michael, the archangel, and the angels fought in heavenlies at Daniel 10 and 21. So there was a spiritual warfare, and Daniel wasn't fighting against the prince of Persia. He was actually praying into the spiritual realms. And behind a lot of the governments of the world is the prince of the power of the world. And if you look at certain governments around the world and the way they oppress their people, that is Satan. He is guiding. He is the one behind. But Daniel is recognizing that there is a spiritual warfare. And he had the patience and trust to wait upon God's prayer, to wait on God's reply. So he didn't want instant answers, because if we do, it's a sign that we don't have a right relationship with God and we're not resting in God, and we want instant answers. So it's a form of unbelief. No, Daniel trusted God. He wasn't trusting in the answer, he was trusting in God. You see the difference? And whether it was 21 days, 100 days, or one day, Daniel would have gone on praying, because he knew he was in a spiritual warfare. And the king of Aram armies encircled the whole of Israel. And Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would be open, because the servant looked at this army of Aram surrounding Israel. But Elisha wasn't intimidated, and he said, "Look, open his eyes, Lord." And when he did, what did he see? He saw chariots of fire. And I've read accounts of missionaries when they were being attacked in the forest. The natives saw chariots of fire, angels. And 2 Kings 6, 8 and 23, you'll see that in. So it's opening our eyes to the invisible, if you like. There is an invisible spiritual kingdom going on around us, and we have to tap into it in prayer and trust in God. Now, if you try to fight spiritual with the natural, it's like taking a sword to a ghost. And a physical sword will not kill a ghost. But what will kill a ghost is the weapons of our warfare that are strong, and they disarm the enemy. And it's prayer. It's confidence in God. And our warfare, we have a warfare going on, but we have to have the right accoutrements to fight it, which we will see. The war is won, but there are many battles. And if you take the D-Day landings, once we got a foothold on the beaches of Normandy, if you survived the initial onslaught, you would go gradually and fight many battles in the Bozard countries, which is the lots of bushes and Germans hidden behind them. And a lot of the soldiers that survived the beaches did not survive the Bocard country battles. And as they went in, and even crossing the Rhine into Germany, still they died. So we are in a warfare. The battle was won as soon as we got a foothold on the beaches. Hitler was doomed. But there were battles to be won. It says Jesus disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them on the cross. Colossians 2 and 15. So we have to see here that there was something happened on the cross. And it was that when Christ said, I give up my spirit, he had defeated the powers of darkness. They didn't know it at the time, but they were totally 100% completely defeated. But they are still fighting their silly little battles. And we have to see that we are in that warfare to bring the kingdom of God in. However overwhelming the spirit of this world might seem to us, a defeated enemy pulls the strings behind it. So if you look at, North Korea, where they live in abject fear, the spirit that pulls the strings behind that funny little man is Satan. And if you took away the apparatus of government, you just have a silly little man. Do you understand what I'm saying? What gives him the power and the authority to oppress is the kingdom of Satan, which gives him the authority, because Satan is pulling the strings. And every government, every superpower, every civilization from the world's beginning has been duped by the fact that they think they hold the power and they don't. The enemy, who is the prince of the power of the air, rules every civilization and power and despot. And we must see that as the people of God, we are in a different warfare. We ain't fighting natural enemies. We are fighting spiritual enemies. We are not interested in gaining geographical ground. We are about winning people to God. And as the enemy in them is defeated, they become part of the kingdom of God. That is God's kingdom. And fighting in the flesh is shadow boxing. So if we try to get into spiritual warfare in the natural, it's like shadow boxing, you know. But I ain't hitting anything. I'm not achieving anything. I look as if I'm expending a lot of, you know. No, shadow boxing is not. It says we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of evil in heavenly places, Ephesians 6 and 12. So, what are we then? Well, I guess that a lot of us either come under heavyweights, middleweights or flyweights. And when I used to pray in Parliament for 25 years, one of the doormen who got to know me, I used to go there before Maggie, and so I watched all of them coming in and out, and he said to me about 10 years in, he said, "What do you think of Parliament now?" So I thought for a minute and I said, well, when I started, it was full of heavyweights and now it's full of flyweights. Oh, he said, I like that, Bit disrespectful because they're not all flyweights. I was being a little cynical. So heavyweights is putting your trust in the God who overcomes impossibilities, Luke 1 and 37. So if I'm a heavyweight, my trust and my confidence is God. Nothing shall be impossible to God. That's basically what we say as a heavyweight. So I'm not a heavyweight, but if I put total confidence in God, I'm a heavyweight, because God, nothing is impossible for him. But a lot of us might say, well, I'm a bit of a middleweight. I'm, you know, not very strong. Well, Paul, who is the greatest apostle, he said, when I am weak, I am strong, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. So he was weak. But he said that when I'm weak, I'm strong. So he was a middleweight. But actually, oh Lord, I'm too weak to fight battles. Well, great, because when you're weak, I'm strong. And where's your battle and your confidence coming from? God, God is fighting your battles, but are you trusting him? And if we're not trusting God, then we're fighting it. And if we're not fighting it, and we're not trusting God, then it must be the enemy. It's either one or the other. And then flyweights is a mustard seed. Now, a lot of us feel that we're flyweights at fighting spiritual battles. We're flyweights when it comes to warfare. And we'd be honest, because I'm a flyweight. But it says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, Matthew 13, 31, 32, you can say to this mountain, be removed, and it will be flung into the deepest sea. So we are to see that actually the weapons that we're fighting with are nothing to do with us and all to do with God and all to do with what he has given us. Now, Gideon is a good example of what we would be like. And I often say to people, I love history, and I love history of warfare. But I often look at myself and say, I wonder what I would have been like if I had been put in the position of some of these men who were in battles. And some of them are called cowards. Listen, I don't judge them for being a coward because I don't know what I would be like in the same condition. And why should they be put in that condition in the first place? They're just ordinary little human beings. And if they're told to do something they can't do, of course they're going to be cowards. But Gideon was a coward. He hid in a wine press when God called him. Oh, I can't do it, Lord. And he says, I'm the least of my tribe, and I'm the weakest of them. And God says, you know, I'm not looking for you to do the fighting. I'm looking for you to trust me to do the fighting, but I'm calling you. God is calling each one of us to be available that he can start the warfare. I am a vessel, and I can actually win somebody to the kingdom of God by being available. But it's God that does the work. And when a person's life's transformed and they become part of the kingdom, well, the kingdom of God has grown. Or when I defeat the enemy in some way, there are areas in my life over 50 years that the Satan had a stronghold in. And over time, as I put my trust in God, humbled myself, allowed the work of the Spirit to come in, he has been defeated. He no longer has a stronghold. Who did it? Me? No. I was available to God. That is the warfare we're in. We are not. And of course he defeated, didn't he, with his army of 300, was it? He defeated a whole army. No, he did not. God did. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I've got to be proactive. Any obstacle, you know, all things, any obstacles, I put my trust in the Commander-in-Chief because through Christ, and who strengthens me, he equips us. And that is Matthew 10 and 1. He equips us. He called his 12 disciples and gave them authority over powers of darkness, etc. So we are to be people that are available to God. And so often we, like in the 60s, I read the biographies of great men and women of God. And when I finished the book, I went like that. Oh, can't come anywhere near them. And then as I read biographies later on, warts and all, I found that like Elijah, they were men just like me. What I'm saying is God uses ordinary people. And Elijah was an ordinary person. Do you know that Paul was an ordinary person? With exceptional skills, perhaps, that God can use each one of us. Now, we've got to put spiritual armour on. And David rejected Saul's physical armour. Do you remember Saul put on the armour on David? And David looked ridiculous because he was still a shepherd at that point, you know. So, this armour. And I was saying earlier on this morning, that medieval armour was very good, so long as you didn't fall off the horse. But if you fell off the horse, you couldn't move. They lift the visor up and shove the sword in your face. Well, they're nice, is it? Medieval warfare was vicious, horrible. But so natural armour, I'm afraid, won't do you any good. So if you're going to bring intelligence, critical faculties, personality, charisma, ability, and fight the God's battles, you're going to get killed. You'll get harmed. You will. Because this enemy of ours is powerful. He roams around like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he might devour. And it's not a game. So we've got to be on the defensive. And Psalm 18, 1 to 3 says, "The Lord is my fortress." So we have a fortress. And sometimes we're not always called to fight a battle. We're called to go on the defensive and hide in Christ. Is Christ your strong fortress? Is he your strong tower? Is he your defender? Is he your advocate? See? And then sometimes we're called to go on the offensive and take the war to the enemy. And Elisha, blinded a whole army in 2 Kings 6, 8 and 22. Or another one, "Silver and gold we haven't, but such as we have give I you. In the name of Jesus Nazareth, arise up and walk." That was spiritual warfare, but it was the name of Jesus. It was being on the offensive and taking the battle to the enemy in Jesus. And I have got no power in myself. I have no authority in myself. But if I go in the name of Jesus, not as a magical word, I have to have the substance and character behind what I am using. But if I do, I can say in the name of Jesus. But if we try doing it without the character and purity of spirit, we'll be like those people who were overpowered. Because in the name that Paul uses, we cast you out. Christ we know, Paul we know, but who are you? And George VI called the nation to prayer, and I think it was during the Battle of Britain. Rhys Howes and his intercessors prayed throughout the Second World War, and I believe that a lot of their prayers had a tremendous effect on this country and its battles. And El Alamein was the first one they prayed for. They got a country house and just prayed for different battles. That's all they did. And we won at El Alamein, and it wasn't a kick over. A lot of men perished, and it was touch and go. No battle is a foregone conclusion, and a lot of people die in the process. The Battle of Britain was another one that we shouldn't have won. The Nazis had all the advantages, and they made stupid mistakes, which I can't go into now. D-Day was another one where they prayed and we won. But what should we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:24. And what they recognise is that if you bring God into the equation, it doesn't matter what you're praying for, you will be more than conquerors, because it cannot fight against you. And they were praying for big, and by the way, God had prepared Rhys Howes years before he started that, for that specific purpose. It is if God is for us, who can be against us? And I don't care if it's a small battle, like you've got an awkward neighbour. I know a friend who had a boss who came in, and she was awful. I mean, she just happened to be a lady. It could have been a man. I'm not being sexist, but she was awful. She was a right tyrant, and he put up with it for a few weeks, and she just brought total disarray. Do you know what he did? One dinner time, when she was out the office, they all went out the office, he got round her desk and he prayed round it. "Lord, I pray you would remove this woman." And he just prayed. That's all he prayed. The next morning, she came in, opened all the drawers on her desk, filled a box and walked out, and he never saw her again. Erica prayed once for a particular situation that had gotten totally out of hand, and she prayed, "Lord, remove him." And within a week, no, he didn't tell anyone what was happening, he just left. You know, God is powerful. Now, the church is a church, it's a mighty arsenal. Now, we depend on Trident, our nuclear deterrent. And whatever we think about it, it's kept the peace for 75 years. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:4. So you have your natural weaponry, nuclear warfare, but the weapons of God's warfare are even more powerful. And I'll just say this, in the 60s, they nearly pressed the button by accident 3 times. Man ain't going to destroy this earth, God is. I hold all things together by the word of my power. He's holding all the atoms together. And all God's going to do is release his grip, and the earth is just going to burn, disappear into nothing. But I digress. There are 7 gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:7-10, and there are nine fruits of the Spirit and 9 gifts. Start again. 9 gifts of the Spirit, 9 fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. The gifts are Christ's authority, and the fruits are Christ's character. You can put on the armour of God, but it's pointless and useless if the heart in it isn't right. Just say that again. You can put on all the armour of God. I feel that spiritual armour. But if your heart ain't right, it's going to be useless. Because it isn't in itself. What matters is if we've got into Christ. And I want the authority of Christ. I want to see the church moving in the authority of Christ. But does it move in the character of Christ and in the heart of Christ? And I'll give you an example. You'd fire a torpedo out of a sub. And sometimes they were called rogue torpedoes. And what happened, it fired at the object, but then it sort of turned round and came back and blew up the submarine that fired it. And if we are not right in our hearts, and we're trying to take up the armoury of God, it will destroy us if our hearts are not right. So let's have hearts that are pure, hearts that are full of the character of Christ, that we take not our authority, but his authority. Remember, in the name of Jesus Christ, arise. We don't have silver, we don't have gold, we don't have power, we don't have anything in the flesh, but what we do have, we'll give unto you. In the name of Jesus, arise and walk. And I want to be somebody that says, in the name of Jesus, because I know Jesus, I love Jesus, I've allowed Jesus to work that work of grace throughout my life. And I've walked with him. I've humbled myself before him. He's become a friend. He's become closer to me than a brother. He is my redeemer. He is my saviour. He is my God, he is my commander in chief. I obey him, therefore I can use his name in power, in the name of Jesus. But if I'm somebody that is proud, not bending to God's spirit, haven't grown in relationship with Christ, and all I do is moan and carp, and we don't bother reading the word of God. If I said in the name of Jesus, it will have no effect whatsoever. Because if I regard iniquity in my heart, you will not hear me. But guess what? The apostles had such power, the early church had such power, because they had such a love for each other. This, that the world might know that you are of God, is that you have love one for the other, not that you have mighty gifts and have miracles. And the world dare not join themselves together because they could see the power of God at work among them. And we want to be people who put on the whole armour of God, that you may in that day be able to stand against the wiles of Satan. And I'm going to finish on this. We know, all of us, the weapons that, you know, I'll say them, put on the truth around your waist, breastplate of righteousness, shoes shod with the gospel, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the spirit, prayer, and standing firm. But you know, these are weapons, and yeah, that's fine. You know, the gifts, you know, yeah, fine, yeah, got the weapons. But that isn't what he's talking about. What he's talking about is the character of Christ. And all these weapons are aspects of the character of Jesus. And it's, have you got the integrity of Christ? Have we got the Christliness in us that pleases God? The good news, have we the good news in us? Has the good news spread in our lives that we are transformed, that we got good news to bring to other people? Warfare isn't about going to people and telling them what sinners they are, or trying to, oh, I'm not going to associate with you, look, you're a sinner. Well, Christ was a friend of publicans and sinners. Good news takes the good news into the world. And that's what Christ did, and that's what we should do. In other words, we should not be condemnatory. And if anyone was condemnatory, it was me. You never met a person who could condemn people more than me. But guess what? The Spirit of God came on me and he worked that work of grace, and now no one condemns people less. All I have is compassion. Do you understand what I'm getting at? Is, and faith is dependency. Jesus, are you dependent on Christ? Is he your total, your total trust, if you like? And then helmet of salvation is confidence in Christ. Do we, you know, or confide in Christ? The Spirit, the sword of the Spirit is active faith in Christ. And active faith is trust in Christ. Active faith isn't, oh, I'm going to be active now. I'm going to do a bit of war. Oh, whoa, in the name of Jesus. That is not active faith. Active faith is trusting in God. I trust in Jesus. Oh, Lord, I trust that you're going to do what you say you're going to do, and I'm going to trust you. That's all it is. And lastly, reliance on Jesus. And I could give you references for these, but I won't. So it's reliance on Jesus. So all I'm saying is not world-shattering, but sometimes we can forget it, is that true spiritual warfare is not in the world, it's in the heavenlies. And we fight it not in ourselves, can't take a sword to a ghost, but we are able to fight it in prayer like Daniel, but we have to be recognize that it could take 122 days or 20, you know, or 30 days, doesn't matter. Do I trust Christ? And I am not doing the fighting. There are the armies of heaven doing fighting for me. I can't fight Satan and his cohorts. I can't fight the prince of the power of the air. But one thing I can do is I can get on my knees and pray and believe God. And my prayer, even if it's resisted for 21 days, will get through to God. Because he's a defeated enemy. Satan is defeated. He cannot win. He's defeated. And we've got to be people that recognise that the armour is only effective if our hearts are right. And if I put the armour of God in and my heart is not right, it'll be ineffective armour. It will not achieve what we want it to achieve. But if I'm right with God, I've got a humble heart and I love Jesus and I'm obedient to God, I can put the armour of the Spirit on and see things happen. I can take the fight to the enemy and I can say, be removed, and it will be removed. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, folks. It's all about Jesus. It's nothing to do with me. John the Baptist, the greatest man who was ever born to woman, and you are greater than he because you're born into the kingdom. And he said, let me decrease that you may increase. No, he wasn't saying, let me become a worm and you become God. He was saying, let everything that is bad in me decrease that you might increase in me. You get it? Not that you might get all the glory and I become a worm. That isn't what Christ came for. He said, he just meant, I decrease, let me decrease. All that is rotten in me, let it go away, that you may increase. Increase in me. Do you want to increase in Christ's love and Christ's character? Then be ready to lose that which is of the enemy. And then if we go into any warfare at all, it will be effective. But God does the fighting, not us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have won the battle. You made an open show of the enemy. And we want to be people that are effective in our warfare. But we don't want to be people who try to fight in the flesh. We want to fight in the spirit. We want to be like Daniel, that we have total confidence that you are going to answer however long it takes. And Lord, may we reject any idea of physical worldly armour, and may we put on the armour of God, and that is putting on Jesus, becoming like Jesus, acting like Jesus, thinking like Jesus, seeing like Jesus, hearing like Jesus, tasting like Jesus, walking like Jesus. We want to become Jesus people, that your kingdom will increase on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. Praise God.